Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us, to call in, and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm Grace Marquet, and again, it's always a pleasure for me to be with you. I am so blessed that you take the time to be a part of this, our Friday Healing Day of Prayer. It's always so special as we pray for all of those intentions that we hold so deep in our hearts. And we have them today. We have a lot of intentions today. So now on our last program, I shared with you a wonderful thing that is happening in our country today, the National Eucharistic Revival, that Eucharistic procession that is traveling through the entire United States. There's the North, the South, the East, and the West, and they form a cross as they march. Now, in the the Northern route, it's called the Marion route. They're coming in through, say, Wisconsin and Minnesota. Then you have the Southern route, St. Juan Diego. They're coming through from Texas. You have the Eastern route, the St. Elizabeth Seton route, and they're coming from New Haven. And the Western route, we have Junipero Serra. And they're coming through the Nevada Desert, the Colorado Mountains. They are really traveling, let me tell you. So this is a group of pilgrims, a group of young people and adults, college students, who are processing. Like a procession, that's what it is. And they're walking behind the monstrance. Now, in our last program, I showed you the monstrance. I'm going to show you again. For those of you who don't know, this is the monstrance. Isn't it beautiful? And the monstrance is being carried by the priests throughout the nation. There are many of these being carried around. It's so beautiful. In the center, right there, is the Holy Eucharist. It's the precious body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's the true presence of our Lord and Savior right in the center. And that is what we worship. Now, this Eucharistic procession, it's culminating now, this very weekend, in Indianapolis, Indiana. They're gathering now as I speak to you. It's wonderful. They feel there are about 50,000 people gathering, and they're professing their belief in the true presence of Jesus. That is so wonderful. So, what am I going to do? I'm going to join with them. I'm going to join with them spiritually. And I'm going to include all of you, our beautiful listeners, to be part of what's going on at Indianapolis, Indiana. It's a blessed experience. And we're going to join them through the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit transcends time and space. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to begin with an opening prayer, as I always do, and then we pray for your intentions. Your intentions always come first. And what a time to pray for them as we spiritually unite to this group in Indiana, 50,000 strong, in Eucharistic adoration. That is so powerful. And then, as time permits, I'll share with you the story of a beautiful young man. Pope Francis is going to canonize him in this coming year. Our last program, we spoke of Carlo Acutis, who's going to be canonized in this Jubilee year. And I have another one to share with you, Pier Giorgio Frassati. What a story he has. He has such an exciting witness. So there's a lot happening today. And I'm so happy you're here to join me with this. So what we're going to do now, we're going to begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me put this on. I want to make sure you see that monstrance. Lord, as we look through the 20th century, the history of our nation, our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, we see a people who worked so hard, a people who cherished their family relationships, a people who recognize the importance of their faith and you, God, in their lives. Over the years, our country has sadly fallen into an era of debilitating secularization. We're not that light on the hill that we used to be. We cannot even say your name, Lord, in our society without ridicule or being silenced. Attendance at Mass is at an all-time low. Belief in the true presence of you, Lord, in the Eucharist is no longer what it used to be. You say it's over 69% of the people believe that it's only a symbol, that it's not your true presence, Lord, it's only a symbol. Lord, we are on dangerous ground. Is it any wonder we see our country in the hopeless situation it is in? Our country is in an identity crisis. But Lord, you never abandon us. Somewhere, somehow, in your time and in your way, your light shines through. It breaks through everything and anything that tries to undermine and suppress your true presence among us. You are Lord and King, and no one can take from us the gift that you gave us at the Last Supper, your body and blood in the Holy Eucharist. I thank you, Lord, for those pilgrims, those bishops, those nuns, those priests, the lay people. They've prepared for 3 years this Eucharistic revival to take your sacred body and blood in the monstrance and raise it high, raise that monstrance high, up and down our streets, through our parks, in our cities, over the bridges. They went over the Golden Gate Bridge, believe it or not. Over the mountains, they went over Appalachia in the mountains. Throughout our nation, drawing thousands of people and bringing back to the church so many who had gone away. And I believe this is only the beginning with your help, Lord. It cannot be stopped now. The monstrance, with your body and blood, will be carried throughout this entire world. Lord, yes, it is time. Thank you for the courage of those people, those pilgrims who love so much, who are bringing our brothers and sisters back to the church. They're meeting them along the way, right along the highways. People are coming up to them, wanting to know what's going on. They're coming back to the church because of this pilgrimage. This is wonderful. They are lighting a fire that will not be extinguished. Amen. And amen. Now, I have some telephone numbers for you, and we're going to pray for your intentions, and we're going to pray through the healing Eucharistic heart of Jesus Christ. You are part of the communion of saints. I always say that. We are the church militant here on earth. We pray for these intentions. We ask the saints in heaven, they're praying for these intentions. And the holy souls in purgatory are praying for these intentions. So our phone number is 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. I understand that's like for a long distance call or a call out of the country. So again, we go back to 610-527-2906 and 888-343-2484. Now, we have these, as I said, we have a number of intentions here. Some just came in as I walked in here today, and I'm thrilled about that. That is wonderful. Let's see. We have Francesca. Francesca has breast cancer. Francesca, I remember your name. I believe we prayed for you before, and we are blessed to pray with you, to continue praying for you. You know, we pray for these intentions even when we're not here. So I want you to know that you're always in our prayers. And also right under here, we see Jane, who has cancer. So both of these cancer patients, Jane and Francesca, we call upon you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, there's such a concern, Lord, when cancer is involved. And I will say this, and hopefully it'll give you some hope. I also suffered from breast cancer. It was 9 years ago. Oh, no, wait, 2009. That's about 15 years ago. And thank the good Lord, I'm still here. So I throw that out to you because I'm believing, I'm praying for and believing that this is going to be a beautiful result for you. Amen and amen. Now, let's see. We have a couple of people here. Let's see. Frank and Kiera for medical issues, and then Kevin hospitalized with medical issues. Now, we don't know what those medical issues are. We don't have to know. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows what they are. So, Frank and Kiera, for your medical issues, Kevin hospitalized with medical issues, the Lord sees them. The Lord knows them. The Lord loves you so much. He knows better than anyone in that hospital room or in your home, Kevin. He knows, and he knows what to do for you. So just trust him. Trust him and turn them over to him. Okay? We have, we have Kelly. Kelly's diagnosed with ALS. God bless you, Kelly. God bless you. That is not an easy diagnosis for you. And we want you to know that we are here supporting you. We are here for you. And we just pray that that there is a result, a healing for that. So they find these answers to all of these different medical conditions. And we're going to pray that something comes through for you, Kelly, with that. We are praying for you. Know that you're not alone, Kelly. You're not alone. Let's see. We have Teresa. Prayer is needed as she undergoes surgery. Surgery. Okay. We're praying for you that that doctor becomes the hands of Jesus. That Jesus is there for your surgery. He will be. He's going to be there anyway. But that his hands are very much a part of your surgery, Teresa. Be at peace. Be at peace. We're praying. We are praying for you. Let's see. We have Dorothy for special intention. For your special intention, you know what it is in your heart. You know how important it is to you. And it's very important for you to have called the station and submit this to us. This is very important to you. And it's important to us, Dorothy. Very important to us. And we have Alex. Alex is a young child. She's having open heart surgery. Oh, God bless you, child. I don't know. It doesn't say if it's male or female, Alice. It doesn't matter. It's just a young child. We love little children. And the Lord loves little children. And the Lord is there with you, Alex. And we pray the wisdom for the doctors and the delicate hands they need for this surgery in your heart. The delicate hands of Jesus touching those hands of the doctors. So be at peace, little Alex. We love you, and we will not stop praying for you and this that you're going through. Okay, we have another one here. Let's see. This is beautiful. Julia. Julia's 14 months old, and she was born out of wedlock, and her parents are not together. Julia is going to be baptized this weekend. Isn't that beautiful? So happy to hear that, Julia. So many times children in these conditions don't get that. And you're going to be baptized this weekend. And Julia, the priest is going to say to you, he's going to bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And at that point when he blesses you, you belong for the rest of your life. You belong to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have a team behind you. You're not alone. You have your obviously your parents. Your mom is going to be there, and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's with you the rest of your life. What a beautiful thing baptism is. Once that's done, you don't even have to have it done a second time. It's done. It's finished. So we thank the Lord for that, Julia. We're going to pray for you. We're going to think of you this weekend, Julia. We're going to think of you. We're going to think of that water being poured on your head. You're 14 months old, so you're not a little infant. But still, we don't know if you'll cry or not. But if you do or you don't, doesn't matter, because that holy water is coming down upon you, and you have a team for the rest of your life. Beautiful. That is so beautiful. So, let's see. We have some more intentions here. Let's see, we have Cheryl. Cheryl had cancer. If you remember, we've prayed for Cheryl. She was doing well. She had a new medical procedure, and then she wasn't feeling well. Testing showed a tumor, and she was bleeding from radiation. Well, the other day I got word that Cheryl passed. Cheryl, you put up such a great fight. God bless you. And we know in our hearts that you are finally at peace. The fruit of all of your suffering, the fruit of it, is the joy you now know. You're being held in the arms of your God. And that's beautiful. But the sad part of this is Cheryl's mom is 91 years old. And a year and a half ago, Cheryl's mom lost her son. Here's this beautiful mother. We pray for you, honey. She's lost a son and a daughter in a year and a half. Oh, Lord, we know that one day at her age, in fact, she would have preferred the Lord take her, that's what she said, rather than her children. But one day, honey, you're going to have a beautiful reunion with your daughter and son. And we're going to pray for that. We're going to pray for that beautiful reunion. As we pray, eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their soul and the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. Amen and amen. And let's see, we have, as I said, we do have a lot of prayer intent, which is wonderful. We have Marlene. It's Marlene's mother. Her name is Julie Standard. And Julie is from Belgium. In fact, she's in Belgium right now. And we prayed for Julie before. Julie now must be about 101 years old. She was 100 when we prayed for her before. And we prayed for her in the past, and we continue to pray for her. Her daughter Marlene was just with her in Belgium with her mom. And her mom has been placed in home care for heart valve and lung issues. God bless her. And God bless you, Marlene, for the care and love that you have for your mother. You keep going back to Belgium to be with her. And now she'll be taken care of in this home care. And I'll tell you, Julie is a survivor. She's been going through all of this thing. And she's, I'd say, 101 years old now. God bless you, Julie. The picture, I saw her photo. She looks great. So we're praying for your heart and lung issues. And that your doctors have the wisdom to know to treat you, and we pray peace in your life and in your daughter's life. We pray for a Bobby LaVita. Bobby has pancreatic cancer. In fact, Bobby was in my brother's wedding party. Bobby is going to go through chemo and radiation, and we pray for a complete healing for you, Bobby. We pray that the Lord is going to be that doctor ministering to you. And also Bobby's wife, her name is Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie has multiple spinal issues. She needs spinal disc surgery. But they can't get her in for that surgery before September. So, Anne-Marie, we're going to pray that the Lord expedites that for you. I mean, nothing's worse than having back, spinal pain, disc pain. It just restricts you from so many things that you may want to do. And as a married couple, Lord, give them both the strength and the peace to be there for each other during this difficult time. I know somehow Anne-Marie's surgery also somehow involves the back and the brain, and we pray for all of that. We're praying that the Lord heals both of you, that this shall pass, and that, Lord, nothing's impossible for you. Do you hear that, Bobby and Anne-Marie? Nothing's impossible for our God. And we place you totally in the hands of our beloved Savior. Also praying for Michael Venuti. Michael had a cancer growth in his eyelid. I forget what that's called. I don't know if that's called a pickle or I forget what it's called. We prayed for this before for someone. He had cancer there. And anyway, Michael had surgery for that. But now the cancer is in other areas of his body. Lord, you are the mighty healer. Please give the doctors wisdom to explore those other areas. Give them the wisdom to locate where that cancer is and administer the proper treatment for Michael. It has to be very difficult for you, Michael, that you had the eye problem with cancer taken care of, and now in other areas of the body, we're going to believe in the healing power of God. We're going to believe that nothing's impossible to your God. We thank you. We thank you for that. We thank you. We have, let me get here to this. This is a, we prayed for Frank on our last program. Frank was one of our people, friend who listens to this program all the time. It's Louise's brother-in-law. And Frank had been falling so many times. He had so many issues. And finally, the hospital discharged him to home hospice. Well, We heard from Louise, Frank passed away, and we prayed for him on our last program. We prayed for Frank, we prayed for his family, but this took an even sadder turn just within this last week or so. Frank's son, Neil, was up from Florida. He worked in Florida. He was up to be with his father 6 weeks prior to his dad's death. And after his dad passed, Neil, who's 57 years old, he returned to his job in Florida. But he was only there a day and was found unresponsive. Neil had cardiac arrest. He has severe diabetes. He was on life support. He was on a ventilator. When his sister went down, she went down from Massachusetts to go be with him in Florida. He didn't even recognize his sister. This is devastating. And we're praying for Neil. Neil, I pray for you. You need a miracle here. I hear he's just so restless now, and he's just so that they have to put him under sedation. So sad. He just lost his dad, went to be with his dad, and now he's suffering. We pray for you, Neil. We pray for Louise and your whole family as you deal with this prayer. Just keep praying for him. We're praying for a miracle. In fact, I mentioned the name of Pier Giorgio Frassati. I pray for Neil that somehow this young man who's going to be canonized, I pray for his intervention. I pray for his intervention. Let's see. I have here, Michelle's my niece. We prayed for her. She's also my godchild. She just had extensive surgery on her right foot. And she was coming through, and then she got an infection in the incision, which the doctor said was very serious. And for 4 weeks, she's been on strong antibiotics. But she's now doing better. And when that foot heals, 4 months later, she has to have the same surgery on her left foot. She's allergic to pain medication. She's having to use ice and Tylenol and all that. And she's going to be out of commission for a while. But Michelle, I'm pleased that that foot that has been under antibiotics for a while now is coming along. God bless you. You've been very positive about this, and I'm proud of you for that. You've been so positive. You're doing what you have to do, doing the ice thing, doing all of the stuff you have to do, and then you have to do it again. But that's okay, because you're going to be ready for it, and you're going to see how well you're going to come through this. So, let's see. As that you can see, huh? We have so many prayer intentions here, and I'm glad we're getting through. We're getting through a lot of them here. We're going to pray for Ray De Palma. We prayed for him also in our other program. Ray's a wheelchair patient. If you recall, he had passed kidney stones, and it was recommended he go to rehab for some therapy. Well, Ray passed away, and his funeral is tomorrow. And I remember Ray from the early days of the Charismatic Renewal. Worked side by side with Dom Lethierry, reproducing cassettes for the speakers. He's also a faithful listener to In His Sign Catholic Radio, and we pray for his funeral tomorrow. Eternal rest granted him, O Lord, let perpetual light shine upon him. May his soul and the soul of his faithful departed rest in peace. Amen. Okay, let's see. We have line one. Let's see here. Let's see how we do this here. Let's let me get this. Line one. Okay. Hello, John?
Hello.
John?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, you called?
Yes.
This is Grace. I'm on the line here to talk to you. We're on the air.
Oh, hi, Grace.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. I'm calling on behalf of a poor young lady, college student, 20 years old, who was shot in Wildwood on July 9th. And she's a college student. She was here just coming for the summer, for a summer job, as many college students do at the shore. And she was just caught as an innocent bystander in the crossfire. And the bullet went into her head. And she was in critical condition. She's now stable.
Oh, great.
She's half paralyzed.
Oh.
She can't swallow. And she couldn't talk except today she said her first word, and that is in Lithuanian. She's from Lithuania, and it was Ačiū, which means thank you.
Oh.
So her name is Viltė, which means hope, and I would just love for you and your listeners to pray for her, for her healing. Her parents are here. It's just such a tragic situation.
Mm. Oh, my. That is so tragic. That is so tragic. And say her name again.
Viltė.
Oh, we pray at this very moment. I ask every one of you out there, all of our beautiful listeners, communion of saints out there, just get together and Viltė is her name. We pray for Viltė, for the terrible thing that happened to her. Our society, we have so much violence out there. And 20 years old, she's paralyzed and she has having trouble swallowing. And her name means hope. And she said thank you as her first word. So we're going to believe there is hope here. We're going to believe for a miracle for you, Viltė. It just seems so unfair, doesn't it? But we're gathered. This is a big group praying for you right now. This program goes out all over the country, even goes into Europe and over the world. So we want all of you people right now praying for this beautiful girl. We're going to expect a miracle, Lord. We're coming to you, Lord. We want a miracle. She said thank you. Her first word was thank you? Oh, my. So special. I thank you, John, for calling in that prayer. That it's so special for you to do that. And just keep us posted. Let us know what happens with Viltė. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you.
You're very welcome. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There, I think I got that there. Okay, very good. Okay, let's see here. Well, I'm so happy that we got that call. We were able to get it before we go on break. You know, I'm glad we were able to get that. That was so, they're all important. Everyone, if you should see this desk right now with the prayer intentions, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful that we have these. And you know, my friends, on our last program, as I said, it was on the Eucharist and the Eucharistic Revival. I promised you that there'd be a second program on the Eucharist because I had more to say and I wanted to share it with you. And this is it. This is it. Jesus made a promise to us. He said, I will not leave you orphans. And what did Jesus mean by that? He meant that there would be a time when Jesus would not be physically with us. He would have to leave us by his death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. But he promised he wouldn't leave us alone. He would not leave us orphans. He promised the coming of his Holy Spirit, who would come with power and give us the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, things that we would need to carry on. And Jesus gave us something else. Before he left us, he gave us the greatest gift of all. On Holy Thursday night, he instituted the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. He took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples. Take this and eat. This is my body. This is not a symbol of my body. This is my body. And he did the same thing with the wine. Take this and drink. This is my blood. He spoke the words of consecration and changed the bread and wine into his own body and blood. And my friends, when we receive Holy Communion, we are receiving his true presence. This happens at every Catholic Mass all over the world. It's not a symbol. It is real. And that is what this Eucharistic procession is all about, going through our nation right now. It's to enlighten us, to bring us back to truth, to set a fire among us in these dangerous times. Now, we can speak about the true presence of Christ. We can read about it. But to me, what is so powerful, what is so profound, is when you hear the actual words of our beautiful saints telling us that when they lived on this earth, as you live on this earth, the Holy Eucharist sustained them. Sustained them. It was during their illnesses and difficulties and joys and trials, the reception of Holy Communion, the true presence of the body and blood of Christ sustained them. Now, on our last program, I shared with you the words of St. Therese of the Child Jesus about the Holy Eucharist. I shared with you the words of St. Maria Faustina and St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And today, I want to have a few more to talk to you about. I feel their words are so uplifting. The saints revealed to us so clearly in their words that the Eucharist is truly the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We learned from them. They believed and they received. Now I'm not sure if we're going to take a break right now or okay, keep going. That's wonderful. That's wonderful, Patrick. Patrick saw all these petitions we have here. Yes? Oh, okay. He said, no, we're going to break right now. Okay, we're going to break, and then I'll come back with these beautiful prayer intentions.
This is Pat Lally. I have been a faithful listener of In His Sign for almost 9 years. So it is with much gratitude and appreciation in my heart that I reflect on how my life has been blessed through this beautiful anointed ministry. I personally have been the recipient of many answered prayers and healings, not only for myself, but also family and friends. You have been called, Kathleen, to speak all over the world, and wherever God sends you, the Holy Spirit uses you in amazing ways to touch the hearts and lives of God's hurting people through your extraordinary gift of healing. God bless you, Kathleen.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906. Or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, I said to you we were going to share with you some of the words of our beautiful saints where the Holy Eucharist was concerned. I'm looking here at St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. Mother Cabrini, how we love Mother Cabrini. She was always popular, but even more so since that movie came out. Magnificent movie. Mother is a giant in our faith. She founded the Missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart. And one of her sisters tells this story. On the Feast of the Sacred Heart, Mother Cabrini was in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament for 12 continuous hours. In front of the monstrance for 12 continuous hours. She was absorbed. She was so magnetized to our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And one sister came by and asked Mother Cabrini. She said, Mother, do you like the arrangement of the flowers and the draperies adorning the altar? Well, Mother gently answered, I did not notice them. I only saw one flower, Jesus, and no other. Mother was one-on-one adoring Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, his true body and blood, and could see nothing else. Imagine the power going forth between Mother and Jesus, those 12 hours. So I think, no, I don't think she noticed the draperies. Oh, my. I have a beautiful story on Philadelphia's own Saint Mother Catherine Drexel. This story is very special to me. It tells of Mother Catherine Drexel in relation to her devotion to the Holy Eucharist. This is very special. Mother Catherine Drexel was the foundress of the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament. She established that order of nuns so she could receive the Holy Eucharist every day. She came from the very wealthy Drexel family. Her father was Francis Drexel, and along with his brother Anthony Drexel, established the Drexel Banks, Drexel University. They were partners with J.P. Morgan, the financier. They were very wealthy and very generous. Now, more than 70 years before the Civil Rights Act, Mother Drexel dedicated her life to establishing schools for African American children and Native American children. She established Xavier University in New Orleans. It was the first Roman Catholic university for African American students. By 1942, she and her sisters had 30 convents, 40 mission centers, 23 rural schools in 13 states, and they were rural. You could see her in her garb, that long woolen garb, in the fields planting seeds with an umbrella over her head against the sun. Mother was nonstop in her devotion to the poor in these communities. She worked feverishly in the early part of the 20th century. And in the latter part of her life, she suffered a severe heart attack in 1935. And for the last 20 years of her life, she was more or less confined to bed. This doer, this woman who accomplished so much in her life, lived in the infirmary at the Mother House in Ben Salem, Pennsylvania. She died in 1955, was canonized by St. John Paul II in the year 2000. The turn of the 21st century. Now, in her fervent love of the Eucharist, Mother said this. These are her words about the Eucharist. I'm going to read them to you, and then I'm going to tell you a story, and then I'm going to go back to her words. She said, "My sweetest joy is to be in the presence of Jesus in the Holy Sacrament. I beg that when obliged to withdraw in body, I may leave my heart before the Holy Sacrament. How I would miss our Lord if he were to be away from me. By his presence in the Blessed Sacrament and after benediction, the priest locks the sacred host in the tabernacle. I beg Jesus to lock me in the tabernacle until morning." Isn't that beautiful? Now I'm going to tell you another part of this. I was asked to give a concert for a group called the Third Order Franciscans. It was to be held at the Mother House. Mother Drexel at that point had passed, and she had been declared a saint. So I went to the Mother House to set up my sound system. I was met by one of Mother's sisters, and she was there. She was helping me to get organized, where to put the speakers, how to set up, and so on. And then all of a sudden she said to me, "Grace, how would you like to see the room where St. Mother Catherine Drexel spent her final days?" I couldn't believe it. "Sister, I would be so honored, so humbled. I mean, 20 years of her life there?" "Yes, sister." So we walked up to the second floor to Mother's room. And the sister pointed to Mother's bed. And then she pointed to a window. It was on the floor beside Mother's bed. I couldn't believe when I looked down and saw out that window. A window on the floor? You could see down below a long, large, beautiful chapel and all the wooden chairs where the sisters would pray. You could see the altar, and on the altar was the monstrance, and the true presence of Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist was on that altar. Mother Catherine Drexel could see the Holy Eucharist all day, every day, from her bed. I get the chills as I even say that. I was overwhelmed. Now let's go back to Mother's words. You're not going to believe this. Mother obviously spoke these words before she got sick, before she was confined to bed. I'm going to repeat those words. "My sweetest joy is to be in the presence of Jesus in the Holy Sacrament." Well, she was. I beg that when obliged to withdraw in body, and she was obliged to withdraw in body from her sickness, I may leave my heart before the Holy Sacrament. Well, she had a severe heart attack. I may leave my heart. She says, how I would miss our Lord if he were to be away from me by his presence in the Blessed Sacrament. Well, he wasn't away from her. He was with her all day, every day. And she said, after benediction, the priest locks the sacred host in the tabernacle. She said, I beg Jesus, lock me in the tabernacle until morning. That was the depth of her love for the Eucharist. Think of it. She was in bed, about to go to sleep in the evening, and she could see the tabernacle on the altar. Who knows what took place? Who knows? What a blessed miracle. The Lord gave Mother Catherine Drexel her wish until the day she would see him in heaven. You know, I'm going to play a song for you. It's called Jesus, You Are the Christ. And I'm going to have Patrick play it on the CD. Again, I want you to listen to the words of this song. They speak of those things that could lead us away from the true presence of Jesus in our lives. So many other things take priority in our lives. And just know as you listen, the Savior of the world is calling you away from those things. He's calling you back to him. Jesus, you are the Christ.
Son of the living God.
Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Word made flesh, born to dwell with us, the Savior of the world. God of truth, light, the bread of life, the Savior of the world. On our last program, I spoke of the Jubilee year coming in 2025 and the fact that Carlo Acuti was going to be declared a saint, that 15-year-old boy, that athletic computer geek who built a website on 136 Eucharistic miracles, gone all over the world, five continents. Well, Pope Francis also said he's going to canonize in the same year, 2025, another young man, to the joy of so many people. And they are waiting for this. His name, Pier Giorgio Frassati. He was an Italian Catholic social justice advocate and a member of the Third Order of St. Dominic. He was dedicated to Catholic social justice issues and the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. Guess when he was born? 1901 in Turin, Italy. And he died at the age of 24. He adored the Holy Eucharist. He adored the Holy Eucharist. He really adored the Holy Eucharist. His father's name was Alfredo, but his father was an agnostic. He owned the noted liberal newspaper La Stampa. That was really a liberal newspaper. He was into national politics, and he served in the Italian Senate, and he was the ambassador to Germany. His mother was a noted painter, and King Victor Emmanuel III purchased some of her works. His father never went to church. His mother casually went to church. His sister casually went to church. But his parents, they weren't very complimentary of their son. They were always blaming him for his mediocrity. Mediocrity. But Pier Giorgio said he conquered mediocrity. With what? With the Holy Eucharist. He was an avid skier. He loved to race. He sailed boats. He loved swimming. He loved biking. He smoked a pipe. He loved horseback riding. He frequented theaters and museums. And he was a mountaineer. A mountaineer. He climbed the mountains in Italy with his friends. And they said he was an explosion of joy. He was an explosion of joy. He would pull pranks on them. But they would pull pranks on him too. And they enjoyed doing that with each other. And you'll see photos of him. And he's either in this very fashionable three-piece suit, also very handsome young man, in this three-piece suit, or you would see him with his mountain attire on, see? Now, Christine Wohar was an author, and she wrote the book called Finding Frassati and Following His Path to Holiness. His path to holiness was extraordinary. It could only have come from God. And this is what Christine said. I'm going to read this to you. Pier Giorgio Frassati was very faithful to daily prayer in his bedroom on his knees. He went to daily mass, Holy Communion, frequented confession, prayed the daily rosary, did numerous works of charity anonymously, frequented adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, kneeling in adoration before the monstrance. He fasted, he read scripture, he examined his conscience, and he would go on an annual spiritual retreat. And in speaking of the Holy Eucharist, this is what he said. He said, eat the bread of the angels, the Eucharist, and you will find the strength to lead inner struggles, struggles against passions and trials. When you are fully consumed by this Eucharistic fire, then you will be able in full conscience to thank God, and you will taste a peace, P-E-A-C-E, you will taste a peace that people have never known. His numerous works of charity started as a young child. As a young child. When he was a child, there was a knock on the door. He answered the door to find a mother. She was begging with her son in her arms. The child was shoeless. Pier Giorgio took off his shoes, and he gave them to the child. That was his behavior throughout his life. If he saw someone without a coat, he gave him his coat. Gave away so many things. Now, when he graduated from college, his father gave him a choice. He says, look, I'm either going to give you a car or a large sum of money. He said, what do you think of that, huh? A car or a large sum of money? Well, He had to make a choice. What choice do you think he made? He picked the large sum of money. Why? So he could give it to the poor. What a man. What a man. He was devoted to the teachings of Thomas Aquinas, St. Catherine of Siena, Dante's Inferno. He often said, charity is not enough. We need social reform. He could probably run for office today, right? He could run for office. Unbelievable. He even had his own newspaper. His dad had La Stampa. He had one called Momento, and he based it on the writings of Pope Leo XIII on Rerum Novarum. Well, one day, while boating in the Po River, with two friends, he got sharp pains in his back. His back muscles wouldn't move. He was in such pain. The doctor was called. The doctor went and told him to get up, get up. And Pier Giorgio said, I can't get up. Well, on the diagnosis, it turned out he had poliomyelitis. His condition worsened, and as a parent, he would soon die. A priest was called. He was near death. His mother was holding him in her arms, this 24-year-old boy. And his final words were, may I breathe forth my soul in peace with you. At his funeral, well, they expected to see some elite political figures and some of his friends. Well, they were so surprised. Thousands upon thousands of mourners lined the streets in reverence to him. Many of the people he had helped throughout his life were there for his funeral. And in later years, when his body was being prepared for beatification by Pope St. John Paul II, his body, the body of Pier Giorgio Frassati, was found to be incorrupt. It was still intact. You see photos lying of him in state, and he looks like he's sleeping. That was 100 years ago. John Paul said Pier Giorgio Frassati had lived a model Christian life of heroic virtue. And in 2025, Pope Francis will canonize him as saint. Says about time. Young people all over the world have been waiting for this, as they have for Carlo Acutis. You know, my friends, there has to be something said for both of these young men, their devotion to the Holy Eucharist, and this Eucharistic revival that is going on now, occurring today, after all of these years. They're both going to be canonized in the same year. One can almost sense the fire of their devotion to the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, going forth, igniting our youth, igniting all of God's people. How special is that? You know, I'll bet these two young men are pals in heaven, cheering us on. Alleluia, alleluia, and alleluia. Isn't that a beautiful story? I interceded to Pier Giorgio Frassati for Neil, the 57-year-old young man who went to his father's funeral and then is very, very serious right now. You know, what can you say? You just offer it up to the saints and pray somehow, some way, that we see an answer to prayer here. But I'm so thrilled to be able to share this with you today. You know, it's just so beautiful to be able to get into the saints and the Holy Eucharist and these 50,000 people. I wish I was there. You know who's there? Kathleen McCarthy, the head of the station, is right now in Indianapolis, Indiana, with 50,000 people. I should have gone with her. But then I wouldn't have been able to do this show for you today. And I'm happy to be able to do this. So anyway, let's see. We can do, I'm amazed that we can do another, maybe one or two prayer requests. Because you can tell, I don't usually speak this fast. But I hope you heard every single word, because to me every word was important. I wanted you to hear every word. Now, this was a prayer request from my dear friend who sends many requests here, Mary DeAngelis. And her neighbor, there was a little boy, his name was Luca, 2 years old, and a neighbor of Mary's. It was so sad. This 2-year-old drowned in a pool. He drowned. His name was Luca. And 1 year later, his mother gave birth to a little girl, and they named her Lucia. Luca, the two-year-old in heaven, and Lucia is born. Goes from a sad, heartbreaking story to something so beautiful. Mary said that family is rejoicing so much with this little girl in their lives. Of course, they'll never forget Luca. Never forget him. Sometimes you wonder, and I know one time a friend of mine lost a child, and she gave birth to another child. And at times she could hear them playing in the bedroom. And it wasn't anything that was put on or fake. I mean, in fact, that mother called here one day. We talked to her. And you just wonder sometimes, Luca and Lucia, is that a beautiful prayer intention? I thank you, Lord. I just thank you for that. Thank you so much. I pray for each and every one of you, for all of your prayer intentions. I know they're out there. I know they're out there, and the Lord hears, knows, and sees every one. So even though you may not get on the air, or you may not hear me say it here, the Lord knows it. He knows it, and he's here for you, and he's going to hear your prayers. And whatever way he sees is the right way for you. Sometimes we want them answered the way we want, but the Lord says, I'll answer them in a way that's going to get you to heaven. So we're praying each and every one of you into the kingdom. I love you. I love each and every one of you. Thank you for being here today. Come back again. I'm on the third Friday of the month, and it's a joy for me to know you're even out there. I love you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen and amen.